That's it. I'm just going to talk to you for a few minutes and then we'll do meditation. Okay. This is just a little bit more on this Ho'oponopono. There's some things I think are helpful for us to really understand. One is the main thing to realize is that in gaining jnana-nishtha, where your yourself is very present and dominant in your mind, right? For that to be, well, let me do a little aside, even if your mind has different ashuddhis, the impurity, this or that, or this problem or that problem that is causing pain, right? Even then, yourself, as you are, is always illumining that mind. And that self is never covered. But the mind is suffering. And so it's kind of like saying, well, you know, I'm always whole and complete, and that's aparoksha, that's self-evident. Nothing is happening to me. Still, my body's in agony. And so, we don't want that. That's not the natural, our natural expression. We don't have that as much control over the body. You have some, but eating well and doing yoga and getting enough sleep and all this. You do have some control. But you have a lot more control over your mind. But that control, that being able to shape your mind, because it's pratibhasika, it's subjective. You know, just like you can imagine something and withdraw the imagination. If you have an emotion, if you know how to work with the emotion or be with it, you can transform it. Whereas if your body has an illness, say, it's a very slow go. I mean, you can only do so much. But that's, you have a lot more emotional ability to handle and transform your emotions and your hurts. Now the thing is, if we don't do that work, then they will be there, whether you're jnani or ajnani, because we're in vyavahara now. This is, vyavahara means this empirical reality that has this mind, that has these different kinds of issues. You'll have knowledge, you can even say you have jnana-nishtha, in the sense that in spite of those hurts, I haven't lost myself at all, you know. But those hurts are still there. And the hurts are what I wanted moksha in the first place, you know. Mm-hmm. We can say that the transformation of all of those hurts is the secondary gain in terms of gaining knowledge. The primary gain is recognizing the one who can't be hurt. That's primary. That is actually the moksha. But the antakarna shuddhi, you know, that the mind becoming free, so free of pain in a sense, really because of dharma and because of the work we do, that's a secondary gain. And that's not a little thing. So I've said, you know, the upayanishta, shravana manana nididhyasana, gaining this knowledge in upayanishta, is taking care of these hurts in the mind. So part of the our way in this era that we have to do that is really, really understanding kind of the unconscious process in our antakarana, in our mind, that is causing all of this. You know. So I'll get to that in a minute. When Swamiji said, in the end, your heart has to be as big as Ishwara. That is so true, but it's not as daunting as you might think. It's not as daunting as you might think. It just means that your relationship with all of your experiences has to be a relationship with Ishwara. And that's also not as daunting as you might think. It requires some psychological understanding. And one of the primary psychological understandings, I think, is that wherever internally or externally there's any type of an estrangement means you distancing yourself from that person, and you have some that person or that situation, you have some fear. You think that, you know, they're going to hurt you or cause you pain in some way. And so there's an estrangement, there's a pushing away. And it doesn't matter if you're Ajnani or anybody, that is an estrangement from Ishvara. It's pure and simple. It's an estrangement from Ishvara. And so because of that, then we have to hold these estrangements, these hurts, you know, that is our work. And so I think that there's some things in this Ho'oponopono that we were looking at that kind of allow you to do this work because of psychological understanding. And one of the psychological understandings is that when a person is raging or flailing or very, very angry or even violently acting out, right, that is a very, what we call, superficial defense system to protect from what is underneath it. And what is underneath that defense system is extreme hurt and agony. And emotional agony goes to extremes that we can't, of course physical agony does, but emotional agony goes to extremes that it's very hard to even imagine how it can be. And when that emotional agony is there, there's a flailing defense system that is acting out. It can be very, very, very violent and do things that shouldn't be done. Like, for instance, if in it for a child there's something like sexual abuse or tremendous emotional abuse, you know, or physical abuse, just simply put, like sexual abuse and very physical abuse, those things are illegal. So if the parent is sexually or physically abusing the child, those things are illegal. And they're also, if they come out that a parent has done that, they're also not socially acceptable. And so the person will be ostracized. You know, kind of like this. You don't want to be around a pervert or a sexual abuser, you know, or somebody who physically beats their children. And so everybody knows this. They know it, the parents and whoever is abused like that, they know it too. And so they're not going to say or admit, usually, to their child, "I'm so sorry, honey, I love you so much, I'm sorry, please forgive me." You know, they're not going to do what's necessary to make up for it. Rather, they'll keep pushing away, pushing away, pushing away, making it worse and worse and worse. You know? And so then these people who have been suffered like this, very hard, that the pain is too much to go in and be with it, plus they don't know how to go in and be with it, and even going in and being with it is way too much. And so they're flailing and very susceptible to very strong projections, you know, that makes them act out their rage and their fury onto other people. And so it's hard to welcome a person like that. It's hard to feel safe with that type of a person because they're violent and they can even have murderous rage, you know. But the thing is, we may not be able to be in direct contact with people that are hurtful. I'm giving an extreme degree, but there's people that are hurtful. There's a whole range of people that are hurtful for you. You can do this type of a meditation where you actually give the estrangement that you're feeling, because you're pushing that away, which makes your heart not as big as Ishvara, because in this area, this is something not Ishvara. And so what we can do then is give to their own hurt and estrangement and fear that we're feeling in reference to the people we have some sort of enmity, negative thing for. You give that estrangement, just assume that estrangement is in them, but maybe 100 times more, you know. But it's in you also. And so you give to yourself what would make all the difference if your parents had said that to you, you know, or somebody said, even the person who's caused so much pain, you know, I love you, I'm so sorry, please forgive me, you know, that's what's needed. I don't know how to say it any better. Say I love you first, because that is primary. I love you, I'm so sorry, please forgive me. It's just, I realize what I've done. I'm so sorry, please forgive me. And then thank you brings that together, you know. It works somehow. It's a very uncanny how that works. It's because of our interconnectedness with all beings. And the places, the people that hurt us, we're more connected to. They wouldn't be able to hurt us. So there's a deep connection there in some way or another. They're all the punya, all the papa, it's all part of our prarabdha. We're there in the middle of it. And so our Ishwara, our direct, immediate, aparoksha jnanam, our direct, immediate, what we call sakshat, of Ish, directly present, is our prarabdha karma. It's all Ishwara, but we don't have that Ishwara buddhi to see the whole infinite creation. But we have, everything that we do have is Ishwara. And so some of the things that are Ishwara are difficult, but they are Ishwara, you know. And so when we're not able to love them, we are estranged from Ishwara. It's very simple, really. You're estranged from one part of Ishwara, you're estranged from Ishwara. And then you feel that. So our task, in terms of the upaya nishta, this antakarana shuddhi, is truly for our heart to be as big as Ishwara. And you have to do a lot of work on that, for that. That's not just like that. Okay, now my heart is as big as Ishwara. No. Somebody told me, I'd heard this before, I forget who was telling me, about the Dalai Lama. I've told you he meditates like 4 hours a day. But some of his monks, the one thing they were, maybe that was you. Yeah. Not at all, I think. Anyway, some of his disciples, of the mother monks, the thing they were most afraid of in their practice, because things were so difficult in, you know, Tibet, and so much cruelty, they were so afraid that they wouldn't be able, they didn't have the strength to do that process of loving them, which then is very, well, you will be estranged. To the degree that you can't do that, you will be estranged. And it was so hard sometimes that they were feared that they would not be able to do that. That's how serious it is. So, just passing that on in thought. So, I've also found that when I do that work, it has a life of its own, and all of the areas where there's these little estrangements pop up, you know. And then you can just keep developing it in your own way. Whether you do this this Ho'oponopono or any other way, it's just most important to kind of understand what it is and how important it is and what a huge difference it makes. So, that's it. class at 11:30 as usual.